You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Yeah, hang on, Don. He's just finishing a call.
Well, hang on. I've busted my gut to get here.
Mate, you know what he's like.
He puts a
it's
pressure
time
on
time, and there's our time.
Exactly. There's Eastern Standard Time, and there's Johnny Newman's time. And if you don't conform to his time, you get a serve.
Oh, mate. If you, what are you doing?
Where are you? What are you doing there?
And he just sits on the phone to Croft.
Oh, half an hour he's been on the phone. I thought, who the hell is
talking
he?
Shit. He just kept repeating himself.
Exactly. Do you want to open the show now?
No, I'm listening to you to handle it just in case I was ill or came down with the COVID virus or something happened and I couldn't be here. I want you to, this is a great start. I want you to just look at this as a job interview. See how you go. See how you go running the show. Go
we're
on, Don.
Shitty now because you.
Push
you,
on.
You don't respect our time.
Push on.
No, there's Johnny's time. The world revolves. Haven't you worked as it?
Well, I tell you what, I didn't ring any.
Grown up as an only child, the only son. And he was a late inclusion. You've got to take all this into account.
My sisters will be happy to know I'm an only child.
Yes, but there is a difference between your age, between you and your sisters. And so his world has circled around himself. So he doesn't think of others, even on the football field, his teammates. If he happened to get a hit out on the ground and they weren't there because they'd be roving to the opposition, he would give
what
them a
what are
serve.
You talking about? They'd be, why would they be roving to the opposition?
Because you couldn't get a hit out at the end.
At the end?
At the end, you were gone.
What are you talking about?
Well, they moved you to centre-half forward.
Well, then there I wasn't doing any hit-outs in that case. When
you
I was,
did when you came onto the ball.
I didn't come onto the ball. I was playing at centre-half forward. When I was moved to centre-half forward, out of the ruck, my ruck work was absolutely supreme, Don, as you would well know. Well,
so am I wrong to have remembered you playing at full forward in your last year?
What? Yes.
You never
played at full forward?
Oh, Don, I'll tell you about my life story. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I played against you at the end. I remember. We trained together. I must admit, I couldn't have got through that pre-season if you didn't help me.
Anyhow, thank you, Don. Now, I took
remember
a call.
Running up those hills at Box Hill?
Which hills?
Yes,
at Don. The athletic track.
Yes, I do,
Jeez,
Don.
It was hard work.
Now, Don, I took a call from Shane Crawford. That's why I was on the phone. I didn't ring him. He rang me.
Well, you're very lucky.
And I asked him, could he ask a very, very good footballer who used to play for Essendon, whose initials are James Hurd, could he sign a jumper for a reason? Shane knows James well and... would contact him in order to get a jumper signed because I had to give it to someone for a reason. I won't tell you the reason, but it's quite a serious reason.
Why didn't you ring him?
I don't have his number.
I can give it to you.
Well, I could have asked you to ring him. Is you on speaking terms with James Hurd?
No.
Okay. So
are
Shane,
you on speaking terms with James Hurd?
Well, I couldn't get hold of him to speak to him, so...
No, that's not the question I asked.
Well,
I would think so.
Well, there'd be no reason why I wouldn't be. But I didn't have his number, so I got Shane to do it. And then Shane said that he listens to the podcast on the way up to Ardmono, where he trains a football side up there, Don.
Where Ardmono?
Ardmono. Ardmono.
What?
Ardmono.
Now, you just let it, that was a glimpse then. You knew exactly where it was.
Ardmono.
This is all a put on. This all is bullshit, isn't it? You know exactly.
But isn't,
that was an insight. Ben Fordham might be right.
I think you give Don far too much credit for being a smart ass. Don's not smart enough to be half smart.
Is Ardmono the place that makes tin fruit? Do they grow tin fruit?
No. They make hamburgers up there. Yeah. Of course it is, Ardmono, you idiot. SPC, baked beans or spaghetti for hungry little human beans. Ardmono is up there. I think they've been taken over now.
SPC or Ardmono?
All of them, haven't they? Haven't they been wiped out?
I think some overseas conglomerates globbled them up.
Conglomerate.
Globbled. They've globbled.
Amtel or Coca-Cola or someone like that.
Amatil.
Amatil.
I don't know if it is.
Amatil.
Amatil.
Oh, no.
Now,
anyway, Don, tell me about Shane driving to Ardmona.
I've just told you. He drives to Ardmona.
That's because he coaches. That's moving into sport now.
Well, he coaches a football side up there, and he just informed us,
yes,
Don,
yes,
that they didn't have a lot of success on the weekend. They got beaten by 200 points.
I take my hat off to him for doing what he's doing.
Yes, he's a good man, Shane. Is that penny suddenly dropped on that, has it, Don?
No, but to do what he's doing, driving, it would have to be three or four times a week.
Putting back in.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. Why don't you get him back on the show, Don? Give him a call.
What show?
On this show. And we'll talk to him about
He never, ever returns a call. He's rude. He's not a good advocate.
Well, he just returned Sam's call.
Yeah, he just returned my call.
Your call.
Yeah. That's why I took the call, Don. That's why I took it. I texted him earlier and I said, could you ring me? So he rang me and I thought
I realise where I'm in the pecking order and it's
Give him a try this week and we'll get him on to talk about his football coaching career.
Well, I tell you where you are in the pecking order. I went down to Werribee Mansions to an equestrian event
on
the week.
Sport.
Well, I was just going to say, in the pecking order, I'm not talking about his sport or his riding ability. I watched him and filmed him and put on Instagram, on the social media, Don, on the back of the horse you named Frank, I think. Was it Frank or Paul?
Paul.
I interviewed Paul. Frank. The Paul was the horse. We've named it Paul because you don't give it a name.
No,
you just say, come here, get
away.
Good-looking
horse.
Come back.
Paul.
I've got two of them. Which is Paul?
Paul was the one that you did I think it was your last round.
You hit
one hurdle.
That's the one where you just knocked
the
bar off.
You look like you're getting around in a Shetland on those horses.
Yeah. And honestly, I get there and Don's out.
You're big horses.
You're a big dude. Like, I'm going to tell you.
So he sits up there as though he's got a bottle stuck up his ass, and he's got a tunic on and all his jodhpurs and his hat and his whip, and he sits there bouncing up and down with his plums jangling on
the
saddle.
Have you seen the video that he took, Don? And he commentates it, and they wanted to put it on their social. Then I listened to it. I watched it, and they can't put it on their social.
Why?
Because at the end you say, you come into the truck, and excuse the French here, but Sam goes, oh, fuck no, I'm not putting up with any more of this shit.
No, so that Don set the scene. So he comes out on the horse. He comes out, and I'm standing next to a bloke called Mark, who is
Mark Nichols, the president.
All right, I'm standing next to Mark Nichols, the president, and I said, here comes Don. And Mark said, yes, he's about to start his time trial to jump over the hurdles. I said, you're going to start now, Don. He said, get fucked. And I said, Mark, that's a nice how do you do, isn't it? Why did he tell me to get fucked? I only just asked him, is he going to start because I was going to film him? He said, get fucked. So anyhow, he goes round and jumps over them all and the horse knocks over.
But surely you don't have to explain it. People can watch
knocks
it.
Over a bar, knocks over a bar. On
you should post this on your Instagram.
So he comes, I did. So he comes over. He comes over on the horse. The horse is looking nice and sheepish, and because it knows,
didn't it? It looked like it was in trouble.
It had its head down, almost on the bloody nose.
Exactly, because you're going to give it a kick in the nuts. What's going on?
The horse knew it was in for a nice fucking seeing too, because it had knocked a bar down, and it came down. It was all droopy, and its eyes were down.
It really was. I wanted to take it home.
You got to see the video. The horse knew that Don was going to kick the shit out of it. And so he comes over.
You don't, do you, Don? Just reassure us.
Oh, Jesus. He comes over.
Oh, Don.
This is the grumpiness of the man. He comes over. Mark has talked me through it, and I don't know anything about equestrian riding. But he comes over, and I said, Don, and he's sitting up on the horse, and the horse is sniffing me and it chewing me up.
He wants to go home with you.
He did. He actually did.
Might know that I'm a reasonable human being.
Really remarkable when you left. The horse turned around in its yard and was looking at you because it was licking you earlier, which I haven't seen before. I've seen it lick, but you're shitting yourself. And then you walked away, And the horse actually turned around, pricked its ears and just looked at you. Don. You had to come back and give it more
attention. It was pining for me because it found someone was a human being that actually had some compassion for it, unlike you who belts the living suitcase out of it.
Well, you've got something going for you because your animals can sniff you out as to whether you're decent or not. Yeah. And
anyhow,
that was really quite remarkable.
Can you just reassure me, the listeners and the social services that you don't beat your horse up?
No, you don't.
Oh, you've got to be joking.
Good, because I just thought you just haven't answered, that's all.
No, but...
I wouldn't answer such a stupid question.
No, I know, Don. You wouldn't belt the horse, I know. But you speak to it sternly. What did you do that for? You said to it.
Were you happy with that run, Don?
You have better conversations.
No, bloody poofed. Oh, yes.
A poofed it, Don, he had please.
You had a right.
Don,
bloody
please.
Had a...
You
bloody
called
rail.
Your horse a poofter.
No,
now, Don,
I said
that,
he
that's was wrong on about four
he
accounts.
Poofted the not rail out. We don't in use other words, that. It was a soft rail.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
What?
Being a poofter. Ron, Don, we don't mention that word anymore.
He had
anymore.
A rail and he shouldn't have had the rail.
And we don't mention about horses for a start because you couldn't tell for a start. Now, Don.
When I saw the first lot round that he sent me, the rails looked like I could jump over them.
The rails.
Oh, they were only warming up. You did that practice round too. Oh, yeah. Well, when I was warming the thing
up.
Yeah,
I sent it to the Rocket. The Rocket sent back.
Geez,
he said,
just mucking around.
He said my dog could jump over those.
Yeah, I could jump over it too, but you just...
With me on them.
Yeah.
Well, so, they were only a foot off the ground.
Oh, Joe, don't worry about it.
So anyhow, just going to finish on this. So the horse comes over after Don's done the time trial, and I said to Don, trying to make him feel good, I said, Don, well done. He said, yeah, yeah. I said, Mark said that if you hadn't knocked the bar off, you would have won the competition. And Don, charming as ever, said, Mark's full of shit. And I said, well done, Don. You've told me to get fucked and Mark's full of shit.
And you wonder why you don't get on with people.
No wonder they are a little worried when you drive into the equestrian area. Here comes Don and they think, shit, who's going to get a belting today? So
and,
that
and,
was...
And I see you stitched up your mates with Alice Costa. I didn't know you knew her.
What?
The article, naysayers not happy with toxic culture at Equestrian Victoria.
That's right. Yeah.
What are you... Now, hang on.
Oh,
hang
don't
on.
Tell me you don't
me
know
in.
What he's talking about.
Oh, bullshit. I've
Don,
got to
I've
you
got
naysayers.
It sounds like you filled some people in.
This is about...
Well, I wrote a letter.
This is about the governor or the...
No, it wasn't. It
not was being part of the, not being on the welcoming committee.
I just wrote a letter seeking clarification.
You wrote it.
As to who was going to be the next chairman of Equestrian Victoria.
Yeah, that's what this is
worried.
All about.
I was a little bit worried.
Well, that's what it is, Don.
About where it was going. So I wrote a letter.
So who put this on to Alice Costa? Because she's even got the bit about the money that went... Between two companies.
Joe Goodnick's
I've got it
company.
All here.
Yeah, that's all in this article.
Yes, I've got it here.
Yeah.
So did you speak to Alice Costa?
Yep.
So when the Rocket said and you said you don't
but
know
Alice,
what he's
hang
talking
on, hang
about.
Hang on, Alice Costa's been following what's happened. If you, I referred to an article dated the 10th of April where she referred to the Governor-General. She referred to the Governor-General being a patron of Equestrian Victoria when there's a pending rape charge.
Yes, that's
and that's what I referred my letter to Alice's for, and she had a lot of information about Equestrian Victoria.
Are you angling for the position of chairman?
How can there be politics in a sport where one bloke is out in the middle of a dirt patch jumping around a horse? Why is it so political?
Well, actually, I spoke to the former Minister of Sport.
This is
called
a good use of
your Justin
time.
Madden.
Justin Madden?
Justin Madden.
Oh, the former, yeah, okay, yeah.
Former Minister of Sport, Justin Madden, who said this happens a lot in so-called, amateur sports, where you have a paid official and you have volunteers on committees and problems do arise.
So, Don...
And a similar problem has arisen at Equestrian Victoria.
So, just as a layman, I just drove in my car and I followed you around. I couldn't find you. You stood up...
Your car? Geez, did that bring attention? This thing with a bloody note on it.
I drive in my car, Don, and it's a bit hard to find... identify people on horses because they all wear the same uniforms. And to me, the horses look the same, although some of them are dapple greys and some of them are chestnuts and some of them are different colours. I couldn't work out which, so I followed. So
you couldn't work out bay from chestnut to dapple grey?
No, I could
gray.
Not. No,
that's colour. You got colour blindness.
Yeah, no, I tell you what, the average person wouldn't What's know bay? The difference between the colour between a bay a horse gray, a and a brown. Chestnut. Oh, so one's light brown, the other's dark brown.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
White brown and light and bay.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so that'd be easy to distinguish if you weren't a horse person.
Like fawn.
Fawn?
Yeah, fawn.
Fawn?
That's not a deer, a young deer.
Well,
that
it is.
A colour.
That's the colour. That's where the name comes from.
Buck skinny fawn. It doesn't
come from a...
No, light bays.
Where does it come from?
It's a fawn is a colour. They didn't name the colour. They didn't name the colour after a deer. What they named the deer fawn? After a colour.
What colour are the fawn? No, they didn't.
Don, so I drive. I'm just telling you this. You be quiet, Don. I drive in and there he is. And every time he canters past people, John Gould was there, the old...
You got into his ear.
Shut
you
up,
would
Don.
Not shut let John Gould go. He... Gould came up to me after
John Gould.
Who's John Gould?
He was a flamboyant centre half back for the Carlton Football Club. Played in a premiership. Very good man. Owns half the Western District.
So he
said
thinks.
He's got what?
So he thinks.
He owns half the district.
Well, that's enough.
Half the Western District.
He was bigger than big in his day, John Gould. Yeah. I mean, bigger than big in his day.
So anyhow, I followed on in. I don't think he knew I was following him. And everyone as he canters past the little setups where they've got the tea and the coffee and the scones and the cakes and all that. They go, here he comes now. And then the hush goes as he goes past. You go... And they say, there he goes there. And Don's sitting up there. Seriously, you couldn't ram a knitting needle up his backside with a jackhammer. He's sitting up there. He's as tight as buggery. He's sphincter. You couldn't, honestly. And he brushes past everyone and he gets off the horse and the horse goes... And Don says... And... he's got him bluffed, and seriously, he's. I said, "Have you seen Don Scott?" "Oh no, we haven't seen Don." I said, "We'd know if he's here because, gee, there's a certain presence that revolves around him. He has got him buggered." And the big Australian equestrian event is on this week at.
Do you want to go?
Not it's really, Don, but I'm.
No, it's a big. The big jump's on. No, yeah. It's not like we did last.
What day is it on? Sunday.
I think I'll have to check, but I think the
you
Grand Prix.
Think.
I listen. It could be Saturday. It could be Sunday. It starts on. On Thursday.
I said to the woman who's running it. She's on the microphone. She said, "The first 13 horses and riders." When she went through them all, and I didn't hear Don's name, and I go over to her and I said, "Is Don Scott entered to ride in any of the jumps here?" She said, and she looked. She said, "No." But he never enters, she said. He just decides that he'll enter and we all make space for him in room. I said, so he's not entered, but he's going to have a jump, is he? She said, yes, I think so. I said, Don just makes his own rules. So sure enough.
Is that true?
Sure enough.
I cannot work the computer.
Sure enough. He's
mate.
Not, sure enough, he's not
you wonder
entered.
Why you have troubles with the equestrian community.
No.
Yeah, that's no. True, Don.
You've got to enter by computer.
Yeah,
like we've got to
and
send
she doesn't enter. And he doesn't enter.
I've got a ring.
No, he never enters. He said, but he just turns up and he says, "I'd like to have a ride here. When am I on?" She said, "Well, we can slot you in between up past three and quarter to four, Don."
He thinks he's Jerry Seinfeld at a comedy club. Oh, I'm just coming on now.
Yeah. And warm the horse up. The horse is absolutely knackered by the time he gets to the event. He rides it round and round. I said to John Gould, I said, "What is he doing?" He said, "He's warming the horse up." He said, "Warming it up, it'll be fucked by the time it gets to the jumps." So we get to the course, and he takes the horse before we time it.
Is this sport or general?
He takes the horse around. He shows him. He shows the horse as if the horse could give a fuck. He shows him. Shows the horse all the water jump and the water trap.
Well
and it
done,
shows,
you picked that up.
It shows.
That was in his commentary.
It shows him the water, the water jump.
Yeah,
yeah. So well, of course I did because it was a different fence.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. So the horse
under
has got
a box
that
parallel. So the horse hasn't jumped a water tray like a box before.
Oh
so
no,
it's take
got
it
that in its memory bank.
Did he say thanks, Don?
No, you just show them. They prick their ears and they understand what's there.
bullshit. That they, horse, the horse has got no recollection at all. So he comes around and he canters past. Now here he comes. He's bouncing up and down, jangling his plums on
the
saddle.
Why don't you just tell the people to tune it? What is it, Instagram?
Oh, you got to see.
Get, instead of repeating, well, this, just was, tell them to go to your Instagram account.
There's only a certain amount of time that the Instagram will allow you to put a video on, so we put it on Facebook. I don't know how to get it.
Yes,
out there.
They want it. The Melbourne Show Jumping Club want his commentary.
Yeah,
including the bit where I couldn't put up with any more of this shit.
Yeah, that's right. He said, "Are you going
to
stay?"
They want the whole lot. So can you send it off to them? I tried yesterday. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get it sorted.
Now, so
they want the commentary, his unique commentary. So mate, that's all they're interested in.
Do the right thing and start entering and not just turning up. I mean,
yeah,
you can't be having a crack at presidents and whatnot for what they're doing in their
You've got to follow the protocol, Don. Mate, you can't just swan in there and think you're the it in a bit.
You're like Sam with bloody time.
With what?
Time. Your time's important now, isn't it?
What's that, Rocket?
When you took the phone call before and just made a sit here and listen.
Oh, jeez. I was rung by Shane Crawford and I took the call and Shane listens to us. He'll be staggered by this nonsense.
Tell him to ring when I pick the phone up, the rude little bastard.
You did, don't worry.
Yeah.
What?
You made that clear to him.
Well, I was going to
mention. And I saw you and also we're talking about.
No, go ahead, Don.
Oh, thank you very much. I enjoyed your entertainment on Saturday at, is this sport? I suppose it would be. At Sorrento Football Club. That has got to be the best football luncheon in Victoria. And
how much they pay you?
No, he did it. He did it. He came down. Did you go to the Rye football ground instead of Sorrento?
Yeah, I did.
Can you believe that?
How much did you earn? What did they pay you?
Nothing. No, he does it for the sake.
Helping out the struggling footy club.
Exactly. And he was.
So you're doing Braybrook this week?
Hang on, Don's about to give me a go.
You doing Braybrook?
What?
You're doing Braybrook this week? So if anybody needs to come canceled? Down and do it gratis, right?
Well, I was worried if
the
I'd been
email address is.
I've been worried if I'd been cancelled.
He was lined up by Mickey Sheehan. Mickey Sheehan
helping
just fed,
footy clubs.
Fed him the questions, but it was packed. The ladies were thoroughly entertained. They wouldn't shut up with these, you know, kind of risque jokes. They thought it was very, very funny, and they stayed. They didn't watch the football as soon as he'd finished. They just went home. But he was I'll pay you a compliment. The last time you got me to half of how I felt, I went and watched Barry Humphries years ago and I could not laugh anymore watching Barry Humphries. My stomach was so sore. You got started to make my stomach get sore. I thought you were very, very good.
Did Mick make you laugh?
Oh, Mick just stands there like, oh.
I could hear
he was bloody Mick. What was he there for?
No, I could hear you laughing, actually.
Could you?
Well, I could hear, and I said something else. I said something
I was trying to give you encouragement, positive reinforcement.
No, I said
I would have liked you. I would have. Listen, I was going to put my hand up and ask a question. You know, could you please tell us about the altercation at the MCC? I thought that would have fitted
no,
in very
there
nicely.
Were no questions.
Trough boy.
Beg your pardon?
Trough boy.
Yeah, the trough boy.
There were no questions because we were meant to be on at 1 o'clock and a very humorous man got up.
He was
and
very
told,
good, wasn't he?
He was. Very humorous man got up and told jokes. Blue, his name was. Told jokes for 20 minutes. So we only had about 20 minutes before the game and I had to curtail and cut back me repartee. But I heard one stage I said, I was talking about something and I said, oh, woman was breathing down the back of my neck and it got me aroused. I said, I got half a fat, just the back half. And Don went, oh, 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 oh. I could hear him over everyone. So I rang Mick. I said, after it, I said, no, I'm not looking for any praise, Mick, but has there been any...
How do you think I went?
No, I didn't. I said, has there been any complaints about the material? He said... No, they thought it was good. He said, mind you, a couple were worried about some of your material.
Who was?
I didn't get the names and addresses of those.
I met a fellow there that your father coached at football, Guy Nevitt.
Yes.
And your father coached him at Geelong Grammar, and I went up to him.
90 he was.
90. And he played, he told me he played...
1949.
1949 at the MCG, a curtain raiser for Melbourne... Melbourne Grammar played Geelong Grammar.
Yes.
He kicked three goals and it was a curtain raiser to the main league game at the MCG.
Yes, that's correct, Don.
And your father coached
his stats?
Beg your pardon?
Did you check his stats?
Well, I'll just go by what Guy told me. He kicked three goals.
I was going to – now, can I just say what I was going to mention? This has got sidetracked a bit. It will. We will continue on a lighter vein, but I was going to mention how we're being played in this community, and I can give you many examples. If you're talking about diversity, equality and inclusion, there are people making sure in this community and probably this country and probably this Western world – that harmony is not a part of their daily life, because I will mention some things about this government and about people. The woman at the Kingston Council has asked kids of 11-year-old to apologise for being white, Christian and males, because...
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
Where's the Kingston Council? What municipality? Whereabouts is it? Where is it?
Kingston Council, I don't know.
Stand by.
Somewhere.
Because there's not a suburb called Kingston.
It's the Kingston Council.
Why don't they just have, as it used to be, Box Hill City Council or Camberwell City Council?
She was a youth worker. She was a youth worker, and she's lecturing 11-year-old kids about their whiteness, their privilege, and the fact that they're Christians. So she is on a bent. She has an agenda. And if you're talking about unity and inclusion, there is people working diligently to divide this community. When you have someone like Anne Van Diemen, who once said when she was speaking about the COVID is like the white invasion of white people coming to this country, invasion day. If you got someone who is a government minister or in the government mentioning crap like that, no wonder there is division in this community. We're all trying to be united, but having a suspicion about what people's motives are or being sceptical doesn't mean you're a racist, but people are trying to drive us apart because there is money in it and there's an agenda in it, and it is a cottage industry of people who are up in arms. And if I could read you about what... If I could read you about what they have said about George Floyd up in the... They've got it, the George Floyd Square. And if you read what he meant to a certain section of America and what they have asked white people to do when they enter George Floyd Square, it is extraordinary. And this is not about unity. This is having division for a reason, because... George Floyd, he's been arrested 9 times. He held up a woman at knife point.
So here's a
square in honor of George Floyd, who died unnecessarily, and the copper has gone to jail probably for the rest of his life. But to make a martyr out of that man, it is absolutely nonsense gone mad.
It's an incident, though, isn't it? It's a reflection of what's been going on and what they are fighting against.
It's not a question of what's been going. Don,
is down your way. It extends down towards Chelsea and whatnot. The city of Kingston.
So then, Don, what happens is that
city of Kingston.
What happens is people then just try and control the language that we speak, like you being asked and people at an official function being asked to announce what their pronouns are. You are he and him, and a woman is she and her. Why we'd have to announce that, I don't know.
Yeah, you're he or her unless otherwise you say it, isn't it? Otherwise, surely we just assume that unless you say it. You shouldn't have to say it.
I told you a couple of weeks ago about that MC I was speaking to, who said, ladies and gentlemen, a function, and then got pulled up. You know, there was a break interval. Oh, you didn't mention is it non-binary?
Yeah, that's right.
Then had to get up the next time. So I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, and got around a round of applause.
So we should pay respect to all people who don't wish to signal under male or female, but for people to have to announce what their pronouns are. So we cop all this, and then we cop the fact that this government. Rorted the COVID system here, killed 1,000 Victorians when I think a handful were killed or died in all the other states because of corruption. Then we put up with the fact that this government cancels a freeway and it costs us taxpayers $1.2 billion for political reasons. Then we say last week...
But in all fairness over that one, the Napthine government pushed that through just prior to the election. I thought the Napthine government was a little out of hand pushing that through just prior to the election.
Okay, so then consultation and communication would render surely a sensible conversation about how the taxpayer wouldn't suddenly be lumbered for $1.2 billion to cancel it.
I understand all that, and now the government are now putting another tunnel elsewhere.
So that's
going well.
Then we get on. So then we're putting up with this, Don. So then... We spoke about this last week. The tunnel is 3 years behind schedule and $3 billion over budget. And we put up with it. And then you have this government saying that you can't announce the COVID virus is a Chinese virus. And if you want to hear what's going on about what that virus is meaning to the vaccine community and the genetically engineered virus which has been let onto the world stage by the Chinese, and this is not about xenophobia, this is just factual stuff that people will not bring out in the open because they say the vaccines are doing more damage to people's immune system than the actual viruses.
But this is what we had a doctor, didn't we question the doctor? And I mean...
I just thought
it was fraught with danger from the start. You got different chemical companies or pharmaceutical companies making a vaccine.
Don't tell me
there's half a dozen different formulas for curing COVID.
You've just got to look into what is going on with the vaccines and how bogus it is.
I'm a layman. I could work that out.
And then finally, Don, and finally, we'll get an update on this, I think. We'll ring the person, we'll ring Ian Cook himself, and then we get on to the fact that the government have orchestrated the most corrupt and dishonest policy of rorting and routing a private enterprise business out of existence by planting bogus
accusations,
grubs,
charges,
slugs, information
by defrauding this company out of existing for their own political use. They want to take over the provision of this company's services and put it in the public domain.
That's how the mafia used to work, isn't it? When you watch The Sopranos and stuff, there's something's going a bit too well. They think, oh, we'll take over that.
And this is exactly what's happening. And since we mentioned about iCook Foods last week, everyone is onto it because they've suddenly realised this is a disgrace. If it could happen to iCook Foods, it could happen to any private enterprise business by a socialist government.
Well, I think there's two things came out of this. One is we should follow up because what frustrates me, the media release stories or expose stories, but they never do a follow-up. And I believe that we should do a follow-up on iCook. Just get a weekly report.
Weekly?
Well, why not and see what's happening?
As required, maybe not weekly.
Well, why not? Something could happen in that week and just see how it's going because the police are now involved doing an investigation. Are they doing it or are they just giving lip service?
The other thing that came out
of that for me last week, you're talking about that, I went away and thought about different conspiracies and... We go back and there's a little bit in the paper today about that security company and I thought if the government employed that unified security company from Sydney to do the COVID last year, paid them 30-odd million, no tender process, I'm just into conspiracy theories. You are into conspiracy theories,
Rodney. That's
not
a conspiracy.
No, but hang on. The money, I just wonder... where the money went to. Would it be a way of funneling money back to the Labor Party?
Of course it is, Don.
Exactly what it is.
Well, why isn't that exposed?
So, Don.
Well, why doesn't the Liberal, the opposition party, get off their ass instead of being such an ineffective party and hold? I mean, they're an ineffective party, the Liberals. Why can't they get off their ass and do a bit of investigative work and expose it for what it is?
So, Don, very good. So that's why exactly we are saying we are pinpointing or highlighting the fact that we are being played. The general community is being played, and we should identify it. We'll identify it if the state opposition doesn't. And this is a white paper that came out not as a result of us doing the podcast last week, but it came out in conjunction with it. This is the issue, and it says here, this is an official document. It is alleged that the City of Greater Dandenong Council and the DHHS, which is the Department of Health and Human Services, whatever, have intentionally and maliciously tried to shut down a competitive business for financial gain. This is an official document, and it says people of interest that they want to speak to, probably criminally they want to charge them, but they haven't quite said that yet. They're my words. These are the people of interest they want to speak to. Elizabeth Garlick, who planted the slug.
Allegedly.
No, she planted the slug.
No, well, hang on. Allegedly. Anyway, keep going.
Leanne Johnson. I won't say who these people are.
Why not?
Well, all right. She's the coordinator of public health in the City of Greater Dandenong. Gregory Spicer, City of Dandenong Enforcement Manager. John Benny, CEO of Greater Dandenong Council. Paul Goldsmith, manager of the DHHS. And wait for this. Brett Sutton.
I'm glad you mentioned him.
Brett Sutton, who closed down iCook Foods without even investigating the slug incident, just didn't have any idea what
but
he
is
was.
But is Brett Sutton, don't you think he's kind of been moved sideways since COVID?
I think he's been moved sideways because of this.
He's certainly not getting the media exposure that he once had.
But you would expect that, though. He didn't get any before COVID.
But he was up there and COVID's still going on. I still see someone else now getting up and speaking about COVID. I don't know his name. He seems South African or Dutch.
I think
Dutch
it's because Dan's crook and Dan doesn't need to, you know, enjoys his daily exposure. God,
I can't tell you, but you should hear the rumour about, I told the Rocket this.
It's not true.
It's not true?
Don't talk rumours.
Anyone who's heard it,
the guy that you talk about, though, taking on a very... How would you say aggressive role in it? Just it doesn't fit.
Who's that? The bloke from representing the government?
No, we're not mentioning any names.
But if you've heard the rumor, it just doesn't sit right.
If that's the bloke, he is aggressive.
No, not that guy. The different guy that was.
The fact is that this guy. is a fairly well substantiated rumor, which we can't verify, and nor can he, Rocket. But it is, if you want to hear the rumor, it is explosive about the incident about what happened with Andrews when he fell over. Now,
Can I go on and say?
Now, just want to finish this one. Finally, finish this. This document it says here, and this is what the allegations. That corruption, abuse of public office, conspiracy, attempt to pervert the course of justice, and malicious prosecution, that and malicious intent, they are the charges that have been brought against those people of interest by an official document that has been released not since we did the podcast, but I'm not saying we were the catalyst, but people are now starting to take notice that if this can happen to iCook Foods, it can happen to any business in this country or state or city, if you like, and it is a disgrace, and we are not going to let this go. We are going to see this through to its final conclusion. Because iCook Foods deserves it, and anyone else in private enterprise deserves not to be rorted by a corrupt and dishonest government. And we will follow that through.
I mentioned to you about what I thought about after that podcast last week and the security company. And if you believe a thing in fate, a thing called fate, I picked the paper up and there's a small article today saying that a security company sues for $11 million. That is, United Security in Sydney, who were given the contract, are now suing the Victorian government for $11 million. Now, I thought they received, or the tender was something like $30 million. Now, they haven't been paid for some particular reason. Now, they are suing the state government.
So?
And if you read the article, the ownership of United Security has been changed. It's just an interesting... And why doesn't the Liberal Party get off their arse and start and do a bit of investigative work and mention this in Parliament and hold the government to account? And this is what's happened in
Western... Well, they don't sit now, do they? We're in a state of emergency.
Well, state of emergency.
That means they don't sit.
Well, they can. I've seen them sit. They could ask a couple of questions when they do sit. But the problem is, and this is what's happened out of COVID, in Western Australia, because we've got this thing called Stockholm Syndrome, where we're so indebted to the so-called leaders because they've saved us from COVID, that there was hardly a Liberal representative in the state government. It's all Labor, both in the upper house and lower house. They can do whatever they want and not be held accountable in Western Australia. That is not a good political system. And the same thing is going to happen here in Victoria. They are as weak as water, the Libs, and Labor will get back in and do whatever they want. And I don't care whether it's Liberal or Labor. If it's the if the roles were reversed, I'd be just as critical of Liberal Party.
Just finally on people controlling the language. If you control the language, you control the argument, you control the outcome, because people say, oh, no, you can't say that, and you can say this, and you can't say that. And we think, oh, why can't I say that? So here's a classic example. Now, Rock. Now I'm going to mention this word. I've already told The Rocket this, and he said, oh, I'm not sure that I'd mention that. So here's a group of people. There's a rapper called YG. He's a rapper in America, and he has a number one hit or on box office or whatever you buy them on these days. And the number one hit... or the number one song, and The Rocket tells me it's a cover, which means it's been done before. So he's just redone it and done it. And if you went in to ask for this particular record or track, you would probably be asked why you are saying that word. But this is the word, and so it's all right for half the community or a certain section of the community to mention this, but it's not all right for people like us to mention it. And the number one song that is out currently in America is called by YG, this rapper, is called My Nigger. Now, how can you have a mainstream song out there which most of the people are not allowed to even mention that name, not even allowed to say the N-word, pronounce the letter N word, and yet YG rapper has a song out called My Nigger, and you couldn't go in and ask for it, Don. So they are controlling the language that you use, they're controlling the language that we use, and then they use it against us, and they say it's either it's about equity, it's about inclusion, it's about diversity, or it's about racism. Seriously, we are being played because we are just pushovers. And if you don't push back on most of this stuff about what language you can use and why certain people can use certain language and why certain people can't use other language, mate, we are just throwing our hands in the air and surrendering to minority interests and people with agendas who want to push in a certain direction that they want you to go, and we just cop it. It is absolute nonsense, and it's about time the greater community. When I spoke down at that place, I tell
what
you
what place.
Where we were.
Surrender, the football club.
The amount of people that just say, why doesn't anyone else say this stuff? Where, I tell you, people will say, oh,
yeah, but they're all frightened. Like I talked to a friend in Queensland. I said, oh, we're just mucking around after the election. Oh, Pauline Hanson's back in. He said, yeah, she's terrific. I said, what? He said, yeah, she says what we think and we're not brave enough to say. Yeah. So that's very interesting, isn't it?
So, but this is because they control the language, Don. This is, oh, you don't care if you say, oh, don't bring him up again. This is what happened with Trump. Trump said it as it was, and people just, because they don't like him or don't like his politics, they just...
You know what I'd do at the election? We get fined for not voting at the election. And I agree everybody should vote, not like the American system. But I'd put a section or a box down the bottom. Wouldn't be informal. I wouldn't register a vote because I don't think they're the caliber of our politicians. They leave a lot to be desired. But there should be a box down the bottom that you vote, but at the bottom, you don't vote. You don't vote for a particular... I wouldn't vote for any candidate. But I'd have a box down, I should have a box down the bottom for people who vote informally or don't vote at all. They should then go and look and examine that and see how many people are actually disillusioned with the political process. Because when you go in, it's compulsory to vote, and you go in and you either mark what candidates you want, they leave a lot to be desired. There should be a box at the bottom for disillusioned voters, and they should look at that and say, what is going wrong with our political system or the candidates that we are putting forward?
And finally, well done, Don. And finally, on this matter about controlling the language, the Victorian government came out and said that they wanted to not refer to the COVID virus as the Chinese COVID. And this is not against the Chinese, because the people living in this country who are from China, this is about the Chinese government. The Victorian government said that they did not want us to refer to the COVID virus as the Chinese COVID virus. It came from Wuhan. That's where it came from, and there's plenty of evidence to suggest it was genetically manufactured there. But whether that's right or not, it is the Chinese coronavirus. They said, please don't use the word Chinese China, or don't mention Wuhan. Why? Who says we can't do that? That's where it came from. Like the dengue fever came from a region in this on this planet. SARS did, Ebola did, MERS did. They're all identified with where the virus originates from. Why can't we say it's the Chinese coronavirus? Because it's unpalatable.
Because it's unfair on the Chinese people who had nothing to do with it.
That's absolute nonsense. It does not breed racism at all. That's xenophobia. That doesn't breed racism. If you can say it's the Ebola virus, which is a area in South Africa or Africa, MERS I think is it comes from Thailand I think, or SARS does.
Now, SARS is an acronym.
Severe and acute respiratory syndrome.
Where's the region in that?
Well, that is a region in South America. It is.
South America.
You said it. You just said what it stood for. It severe from, and
so it's got to originate from someone. So Ebola comes from a certain Africa, region in the country in the
planet. A place called Ebola.
Yeah, there is a river.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay,
dengue fever comes from, I think,
isn't
from...
Isn't there a river called the dengue? Is there a
no,
river?
No, dengue, I think, comes from Thailand. I'll check this in a minute. MERS is a region...
That's another acronym, isn't it?
No, it's not. MERS is a region in Thailand, or I've mentioned Thailand three times. They're all refer to areas of the globe where this comes from.
Talking about MERS.
The COVID-19 virus came from Wuhan. That's where it came
from. But it's already got a name. Why do you keep attaching China to it? Why don't you just call it COVID-19?
Because... COVID is not peculiar to this particular virus.
COVID-19 is.
19 is. COVID's not. COVID is a generic...
You're trying to promote a little bit of angst.
Generic title given to viruses, and then they identify them by 19.
So there you go. So it's identified. You don't need to add the China to it.
Well, you don't need to. You could just say there's a virus come from, give the numbers of all... it came from China, and why does the government say we shouldn't mention? It's nothing to do with racism. It's a fact of where it came
but
from.
It does breed racism. It breeds racism and angst towards Chinese people.
It does nothing of the sort. It did does you nothing had, of the sort.
Listen, did you gentlemen see Four Corners the other night where they're talking about the trade sanctions for China? You know, it just – what highlighted it to me, you know, poor Australia, it just showed me how – to me – what I got out of it was how lacking the various areas in the Australian economy lack as far as marketing is concerned. And they're so reliant on China because they will not get off their arse.
Turn the phone off.
Will you?
It's all right when yours calls.
Yeah, it's all right when mine goes and I'm before we go on air, but yours goes during while we are on air. you looking up Mars, all those things?
No, I'm sending you an email.
Oh, right.
But anyway, let me finish about the trade thing, about how Australia, you know, China's taking our iron ore, which is of very high quality and very accessible to them and whatever else. But the other products like wine, there's lobster, there's barley and whatever else. Why don't those particular sectors of the economy get off their ass and go and find other markets that they're not dependent? I mean, if you're running a business, you don't have one, you do not supply one person because you become beholden to that particular outlet and then they screw you. You should be diversifying.
Don.
What, John?
Thank you, Don. That's all very – quite agree with what you say, but don't forget there's a hell of a lot of other countries in the world that produce barley and wine and lobsters.
And
with regard they are all to, vying for the same markets,
and
Don.
And, John, let me tell you that the barley people got off their bottoms and are now exporting to America. Because I know that because horse feed, which we use barley –
yeah.
Horse feed hasn't gone down at all in price. You think, oh, yes, there's a glut on the market because China is cut off. No, because they're now exporting to America. Why don't the wine companies get off their bottoms and go and find other markets, the beef market and whatever else?
Before we're going to put a call into Ian Cook. Before we do that, this is a personal thing from me, but it's...
To who?
Isn't everything?
No, it's not rocket.
To who?
So this is how...
Sorry, a personal thing from you to who?
This is my experience. I want you to comment on this. This is how the retail section in this community is going. You'd think they'd be try harder now that COVID's...
They are shocking.
Shocking.
I went into a shop yesterday. I won't mention their name.
Go on.
They are shocking. They're a monopoly. They are a monopoly.
Ah, well, I've got a monopoly. Yeah,
and they've cut their staff down and try to find something on the shelf any assistance. And then when I did get assistance, this bloody bitch who was in a bad mood would not help. I could have done it myself. Beg your pardon? Yes, you're dead on.
Okay.
You are dead on.
So Don...
They are hopeless.
So you make a very good point. So my sister wanted to buy a left-hand door refrigerator.
Shovel.
That what? Oh. What did you say?
Left-handed shovel.
A left-handed, with the hinges on the left-hand side of the door as opposed to the right-hand side.
I understand what you're saying.
So she goes into the good guys and they said, oh, no, we don't have a left-hand hinge refrigerator. How many of those would... people want to be equal quantity because if you have all your cabinets on one side. So they said, no, there'll be a four-week wait. A four-week wait for a left-handed...
Could I put my hand up and say something?
Left-hand.
I think you can. The fridges I have got, I think you just change it over.
I said that.
No, you do it yourself.
Said that and they said no. I said to my sister, you can change the hinges yourself. Yeah. They said no, you can't. So I ring up the good guys. I thought, I will just get to the bottom of this. So I ring up the good guys and
Did you say it was Sam Newman or John?
Stanley Newman.
Stanley.
I didn't mention, you don't have to give your name. The woman said...
No, but if you had...
Very charming person.
If you had have dropped your name, they would have jumped
high.
He said,
don't you know who I am?
Yes.
Right. Well, I didn't do any of that. So the very charming lass says, I said, could I get put through to the white goods department.
Said, no worries, Sam.
What? The white goods department?
Yes, that's not racist, Don. That is the electrical equipment that's white.
The questions you ask during a story are just priceless.
That's electrical equipment like washing machines and refrigerators and stuff that is painted white enamel. It's nothing to do with race.
Goods.
Could I get through to the white goods department? So she switches me through and the phone rings for probably 30 seconds and then it goes back to the switchboard and she says, have you got through yet? I said, no. She said, I'll try again. So she puts me through and then this recording voice comes on and says, our team members will be with you in a minute. We're experiencing – so anyhow, Don, then I go back to the switchboard again. So after it rings, obviously, for a minute, it must revert automatically. But she said, have you got through yet? Now, I'll cut a long story short, Don. After 15 minutes
– which would have been three, Don.
No, I've dealt with them. Rocket, I know what he's talking about.
Rocket.
I know what he's talking about.
I will show you on my phone the number I rang
and
the time.
Go on.
Yes.
Hang on a
minute. I bet you it's not 15.
I'll bet you it is. It's
try Telstra. It's a bloody hour on the phone
Don,
to Telstra.
Ah, Don, Telstra. Oh, haven't
just
finished.
Just for people at home, haven't Sam's finished. Put his phone away.
No, my phone's up here.
Righto.
What do you mean put my phone
away? I want
away?
To see it.
Just a minute. So I'll get on to Telstra in a minute. So after 15 minutes, I hung up. So then I thought I'll ring Harvey Norman. So I rang up Harvey Norman. And the woman said, yes, I'll put you through to the white goods department. And a person
actually – same person answered.
No, it was a different store, idiot. So they put me through and this man answers the phone. He says, yes. I said, have you got left-hand refrigerators? And he said, look, let me go and check. I said, will I wait? He said, no, I'll ring you back. Give us your number. And that's the last I ever heard of him. that's the last I ever heard of him. So then...
He probably thought you were an idiot having a hoax call.
No,
I'll give you a number. No, do you want me to get it sorted?
Just a minute.
Why don't you get off your bum and go into this?
Now, I'm showing you this here now, Rocket.
I can get that.
Look here. Just so I'm not. This is a whole raft of emails sent to Telstra because I overpaid.
Hang on, have we gone off this white?
I'm just talking about how people, the service industry is knackered, and it's big companies that have no interest in servicing any of your desires or complaints. So Telstra. I've got a thick list of emails that have been sent to Telstra because I overpaid my account by $880. I have here, they have actually replied and said, I can show it to you. It says, your refund.
Microphone.
Your refund. There it is there.
Well,
so
we should have a camera.
I'm just showing so I don't make this up. That has taken, that is 6 weeks old. Every time you ring Telstra, you have to go through a automated.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I get you. That's so painful. You can't
an automated voice as to what is your problem.
I know.
And then that says, will you hold the line? I've held the line for 6 weeks.
Yes.
They have got there that your refund is due.
Yes.
I have a complaint number. There's the complaint number on the front. You have to go through. After 6 weeks this has taken
and
I thought, will I just forego the fact that they owe me $880? Or
why don't you go to the shop like you told me to do?
I went to the shop. So the shop are agencies. So I've got a very nice woman called Rashmi. There she is there. Rashmi.
Who?
Rashmi.
Is this on the telephone in India or here in Australia?
This is Rashmi, is a person I've met, charming woman, in at the South Melbourne Telstra office. And I said, she says, I won't take a voice off.
Oh, mate. Don't do
She's that. A very charming woman.
Oh, no.
She's a very charming person. I said, Rashmi, I said,
yes, mate.
How long will it be? And she said, well, you have to ring the number. And I said, could you ring the number? She said, no, they'll only deal with the account holder. We can't do it for you. I said, well, could I ring on your phone? She said, no. She said,
Rashmi,
you can't. You'll have to ring on your phone. So I thought, will I waste about $500 on my mobile phone just waiting for Telstra to answer? So I can't. There is no one I can speak to. I've got a complaint number. I've got
go
a,
to the ombud.
I said to Rashmi, I said, I might take this to VCAT or the ombudsman. She said, well, you're.
Is it she an said, Australian well, company? Telstra?
She said, you're welcome to do that, mate. And I said, I don't want to do that, but there's got to be an outcome that I can get after they've said, I've got it in writing, you are owed $880.
I think you've got to go to the corporate ones, you know, not the commercial retail outlets,
I've got to get in my car, do I? And go, where is that?
I'll find you one.
No, I said to her, can I, if you're an agency, if you're a freelance agency, could you send me to where the Telstra, where the main Telstra? She said, no, you got to ring up. I said, I've done this.
There's nowhere to ring. They don't answer.
So they've got $880 of my money. Harvey Norman and the good guys can't provide left-hand door refrigerators, and if they can, they won't tell you because they don't answer the phone.
And do you see they encourage us to put solar power on, you know, clean air and all the rest of it? Now they're charging you to put the money back in the electricity back in the. Oh, he's not even interested.
Of course I am.
You're not interested,
Don. Don.
What's the point of talking,
Don? I'm following up something you asked me to do without him going through my phone. We're here. I've got plenty of stuff to speak about.
Not yet. We'll take a break. We'll do it after sport. We'll have it at the end.
Who are we going to talk to?
No, I told him we'd ring at a certain time.
Well, let's take a break. We'll ring him back.
What?
We'll take a break because I need to set the thing up. We'll ring him back.
Well, you set it up while I'm talking about something else.
Hey, just take a break.
Right, we're taking a break. I fuck if I know why, but we are.